The Around the NFL Podcast has a perfect QB rating.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey. How are you? Happy Thursday.
Thanks for not wearing your coat and making us look bad.
I know. I did an NFL Now hit. This morning, NFL Now is a major new platform initiative by the NFL Media Group where we do regular hits, and you can find that on the old NFL Now, and which is a thing. And then also on the top of
download
all many
it.
Stories.
iTunes.
It's an app.
Your tablets,
app.
Your phone, your desktop. Oh, man, what a
please
product.
Please, if you do
Mark.
It, please, if you listen to this, you like the podcast, you should check out NFL Now and check out our videos on that. We haven't pimped that at all. We're on that a lot.
Can you watch?
I wish they could tell us where they got it from. Like, if you could sign in and say, like, I'm coming here because the podcast told me to. That would give us some cred.
Can you watch NFL Now on your Lenovo?
Oh, yeah.
Bet you could. Bet it would be very good, too. Hey, by the way, TD, when you – Synergy, holding his hands together. TD, when you came in, Greg and I were taking turns trying to impersonate you. So Greg and I are both going to do our TD impersonation, and you'd say who does it better.
Will do.
All right, Greg goes first.
So what's going on, guys? Just hanging out here at NFL Media today. How's it going?
All right. My turn.
I'll pick Dan.
What's happening, fellas? What's going on? Big week at the NFL, as you know.
I didn't have time to prepare what you were going to say.
So I would go with both equally weak, but as I prefer the body language on Dan's impression, so I'll go with that one.
It's always about body language.
Always is.
All right, well, that's one victory right off the bat. I'm very excited about this week. So, yeah, big show. This is our Week 7 preview show. As you know, when we're going to go through all the games as we do every week and talk about them, pick them, tell us, go over why we picked them, our hero picks and all other picks. It'll be fun. But before we get to the games, let's do what we always do. We throw to our Around the NFL team that's going to stay late Thursday night and watch the big game. This time, it's Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. Mark self-proclaimed it the A-team, so take it away, A-team.
Well, we are the A-team. That's very appropriate, isn't it, Greg?
Well, they dial up the best Thursday night game of the year. Two fantastic teams, the Jets and the Patriots. We want an unbiased look at things, so we put Dan at a bar or something. We get to talk about it. Good game. I mean, we got
what
a great
game. What a game. I mean, we've waited for this.
27-25, the Patriots win it on a blocked field goal, 58-yard attempt as time expired. Chris Jones with the block and some poetic justice if you're a Patriots fan, or symmetry, because Chris Jones is the man who last year, you might remember, got called for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on a missed folk kick in overtime, ultimately setting up the Jets win. And Bill Belichick came to the podium right after the game and he said how happy he was for Chris Jones and how fitting it was.
Oh, yeah, and if you're a New York fan whose heart's just been broken, you will see that poetry and say, this makes sense.
It is tough because I know you wrote about, Mark, that this was the best performance we've seen from the Jets all year. I think it's safe to say it's the best performance we've seen from Geno Smith all year. And, you know, if you're a Jets fan, you just would have loved to see them finish it out because it was kind of a magical ending there, how Geno Smith set up that long field goal.
I thought the way that New York approached this game offensively out of the gate was the perfect way to neutralize Tom Brady, which is keep the ball completely out of his hands. They controlled the ball for 22-plus minutes with a very effective – you know, they ran for 31 yards against Denver last week, and we spent all Sunday saying how their offensive line looked like a total mess. And then tonight, what was it, 218 yards? That's the most that Bill Belichick has ever given up at home. That's a concerning issue for Patriots fans.
It's the third time this year they've been gashed on the ground, and I thought about the two players that the Patriots have lost for the season and how their absence showed up tonight. So you don't have Jerod Mayo, and there's a cascade effect where they change their whole defense. They go base 3-4, back to what they were doing more last year, Chandler Jones and Ninkovich on the outside standing up as linebackers. and everything didn't work. I mean, whatever the reason was, they were getting steamrolled. The pass rush was okay. I wouldn't say it was a huge problem when Geno Smith went back to pass, but on the ground, I mean, they were getting run over. And then Stephen Ridley, I thought they missed him a lot too. The pass run imbalance in a close game. Brady threw 37 times. They only ran 15 times. Jonas Gray basically took over as the inside runner, and he only had 3 carries. So they're missing that kind of pounding running back threat.
Yeah, and the Jets, they're 1-6. You have to wonder at this point, really, you know, what happens from here for them. Their schedule, and I know that we don't want to, you know, agree with people that say that's, you know, the schedule is what it is.
Well, but now it kind of, now you can look at the schedule. You can't before the year, but now you can.
It is a murderer's row of quarterbacks that they faced. They lost all 6 games to the like of Matthew Stafford, Jay Cutler, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, really everyone, Aaron Rodgers, the whole group. It's that's ugly, but I, you know, let's flip it to New England for one thing, because, you know, as a Patriots fan, Greg, or just in, as an observer, they're going to face much better offenses than what they saw tonight. That I really would have to be concerned about them, and also what Brady. I didn't think Brady in the offense looked sharp in the passing game.
I don't think Brady was a problem tonight. I thought he played a good game. I mean, he missed a few more throws this week than he did the previous 2 weeks, but he also made some great throws. He threw for 3 touchdowns. After all everything that people were honking about, he has 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the year.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. The drive of the game and why I think it was a great Brady game, or a very good one, was in the fourth quarter when they took the touchdown, where they scored the touchdown to go up 8. There's a 3rd and 5 to start out that drive where a free rusher is coming at Brady, and he kind of slings it sidearm Aaron Rodgers style to pick up the first down. Then he goes for a dagger down the middle to Gronkowski, and then they have a 3rd and goal from the 20 where Brady makes a play moving to his left, which you rarely see. Danny Amendola makes his best play as a Patriot. That was a great drive for Brady. They played pretty well on offense. It was really the defense that was a problem.
I did notice that Edelman, he had 2 very bad drops tonight. Gronk had a drop or 2.
Yep.
New York had a chance here because New England just wasn't on its game at various points.
They scored the first five times they had the ball. They didn't punt till midway through the third quarter. It's crazy.
I just think the problem, though, here was New York. Listen, they had the ball 15 times inside of New England's 30 in the first half, came away with 3 field goals.
To Geno Smith's credit, though, they did finish off the 2 drives in the second half down the stretch. You know, they got touchdowns, and then he got the ball back with only 1:06. He sets up the possible game winner. It's tough. 1-6, if their season wasn't over before. Did we fork them? We forgot to fork them.
Well, I think that's coming. And I mean, do you feel that it is just an inevitable conclusion that Rex Ryan is
no
out the door?
This guy's tough to kill. I don't know. You're right. With the schedule that they have, it's hard to imagine. But what if they played great down the stretch, great enough to, you know, win 7 games or something?
Well, last year they fought and clawed to get to 8-8, but they never were more than 2 games under .500. Right now you're 1-6, and there's a lack of talent here. I'd be concerned about Ryan's future.
The Patriots have a really tough schedule coming up too, but they are at home the next 2 weeks. They've played more games on the road already. Chicago, but listen to this after that: Denver, Indy, Detroit, at Green Bay, at San Diego. Mm. It's going to be tough for the Patriots to have one of those 12-4 type of years, but it gives them a nice cushion that they're to 5-2 now, even though they haven't played their best early in the season. I guess that's it. Hopefully Dan's out there somewhere enjoying the game.
I'm gonna text him and see how he is. I'm looking at TD through the
TD's
glass.
TD's saying, wrap it up,
he's
baby.
Saying, guys, this is about 4 minutes too long.
TD.
What's happening?
What's happening, guys?
What's happening?
I can't do it. All right, let's send it back to Dan and the rest of the crew.
All right. Great job there by the A-team, Mark. Good job, buddy.
You know, let me tell you something.
Yes?
I'm struggling with this episode.
I know. You haven't said anything yet.
I just feel that we launched into this with 4 minutes of company propaganda. We're better than that.
Yeah, who would want to grow a product that we're helping to work on?
Obvious response, but
It is funny when Mark rages against the machine and then cashes Rog's checks every other Friday.
I'm not railing against Rog or anyone else. I just think it's time to get down to the games.
All right, then. Let's get into it. And we'll start with a game between 2 teams that that gentlemen I know on this side of the table, not big guy, not big dome guys, but the Saints are heading to Ford Field to play the Lions, a matchup of two teams that are supposed to light up the scoreboard. But we don't know what we're going to see here because we know the Saints have not been as prolific as we thought they were going to be this year. We know the Lions are probably not going to be with Calvin Johnson for a second straight week. The Saints need this win. Where are they at right now? 2-4?
2-3.
2-3. They need this win. So you got the Lions that are riding high, defense playing very well. How do we see this shaking out?
I think that might have been prophetic to call them 2-4. Obviously, a team that struggles on the road, but also, and I, you know, we never know how much of a role this plays, but Joe Lombardi, coordinator for the Lions, offensive coordinator, knows the Saints about as well as anyone. Maybe he stopped over to the defensive side. The coaches said, let me give you a few tips on how to shut this down.
I think the defense in stopping the Saints' offense, oddly, isn't Detroit's problem. This is one of the worst offenses in the league right now. I mean, it's amazing how much less criticism a guy like Matthew Stafford would take when he's got a defense carrying him. And he hasn't played horribly, but he's been part of the problem, a little more conservative. They've averaged 8.5 points, essentially, on offense the last 2 weeks combined. Their defense is scoring, setting up points for them. But they struggle doing anything right now. Hopefully they get, you know, healthier in the backfield. But without Calvin Johnson, they're worse than they would have been even a year ago, I think, without Calvin Johnson, if that makes sense.
I've been high on the Lions all year, but I picked against them for the very reason you're talking about. I don't like their offense right now. They're not that good without Calvin Johnson. And the Saints have Mark Ingram back. I mean, even the top defense in the NFL isn't stopping that guy.
No, stop.
No, he looked fantastic in the Browns game before he went out. It was unstoppable.
Mark Ingram, though, is, you know, Chris tries to stay unbiased with all things, but for some reason, his,
son of his boys,
burning love of Mark Ingram.
I don't know where this comes from that passion. I try to stay unbiased. I am not unbiased in any way.
If I gave you the choice to build a big, beautiful house on Tybee Island, you, Mark Ingram, and Steve Smith, all sharing the property together, kicking back, drinking some Yingling. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Mac Glasson, throwing a little corn, a little cornhole. What a party. Some ladies come over.
However, once a month, Matt Schaub comes and stays for a weekend.
Schaub's in the mix, and it's a surprise, but he is.
I would absolutely do that, and I'm predicting a fist fight by the end of the night between me and Steve Smith over cornhole.
I don't like your chances in that, buddy.
I don't either.
This is one of the most fascinating games, I think, of the year, because this is your Super Bowl pick, the Saints. You picked them to win.
Both these guys, right?
Win the Super Bowl.
I was hoping to slip out of that, but
Mark
I did
jumping too. Off that. But this is kind of that game where it's like the expectations and everything that we saw on paper meets up with what's actually happening in 2014. The Saints have to win this game. They can't fall to 2-4. Whereas the Lions, they're a much different team than we thought. They're a much better team, at least, than I thought they were going to be.
Wes and myself picked the Saints to get back on track. The other three gentlemen, including you boys, picked the Lions. So that we're split on this one. Should be a good game. Very good game, in fact. Moving on, the Panthers coming off that tie, 37-37 tie. Got saved by a missed field goal. Now travel to Lambeau to face the Packers, who are coming off that narrow win against the Miami Dolphins, where Aaron Rodgers pulled a little fake spikery and then won the game with a pass late to Andrew Corliss. So the Packers at Lambeau riding high on a winning streak. The Panthers are a hard team to figure out. How do we figure this one out?
For me, one thing outside of the defense, which has fallen so far from where they were a season ago, you know, the Bengals game last week, they basically ditched the ground game and outside of Cam Newton just said, you're going to have to be the one guy that moves us on the ground. And he did.
But he's the guy that decided that because it was all read option and they were giving it to him. They were daring him to run. And he basically looked at these guys, Darren Reeves and Fozzie Whitaker. He said, I can run better than them. And he just took over because all of those were run pass options.
Yeah,
he only ran twice in the first half and then 15 times after
that. And bad on Cincinnati for not stopping that. But my problem is I don't care, you know, whether that worked or not last week. That's not a sustaining ground game in the NFL.
That's fair.
The Packers are last in the NFL in run defense, I think. And they've been better the last few weeks against the run than the Panthers have.
I think the Panthers are more of a passing team now. But you wonder if Kelvin Benjamin's not available for this game and he missed the first two practices of the week with a concussion, whether they can still be a passing team. I mean, Football Outsiders has the Panthers as the 7th best passing team in the league. Cam Newton risen to the top five in my old quarterback index. I think he's playing better. He's throwing the ball better than he has at any point in his career.
The man formerly known as Riverboat Ron agrees with you. He said that today. Mm-hmm. He told reporters that Cam Newton is playing better now than he ever has.
And that's coming behind an offensive line that still isn't protecting him well. It's not been a great line. Although, in the offseason, it just shows how little we really know about any team going in, because we predicted complete doom for this passing game and looked at the offense and just wondered how they'd do anything. Kelvin Benjamin remains my pick for rookie of the year on offense. He has been game to game getting better and impossible to go. If he's not in there, that's a huge issue for the Carolina Panthers.
It's a tough matchup, too. I mean, I think the Packers secondary is coming together.
It's also very banged up. I mean, a couple
flashing
guys didn't practice today.
Casey Hayward, Sam Shield, they've all started to make plays. Micah Hyde, they've all started looking
better. Clinton Dix had his best game of the year, too.
It's a good-looking secondary.
And we talked about it in our last preview. You guys both picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl. I think Greg and I both picked the Packers. I'm feeling, as the season's going on, I'm starting to feel better about the pick, whereas after 2 weeks, I was like, oh, boy, I'm in deep trouble here. I think the Packers at home with Aaron Rodgers playing at this level, relatively healthy, still waiting for Eddie Lacy to really kind of come into his own and get on a roll, but I can't pick against the Packers, and none of us did. All five across picked the Packers.
I wonder if we see less of Lacy, because when it's crunch time last week, when they had to win a game, he didn't get off the bench. It's James Starks. And to be honest, the offense looks a little better when James Starks.
Starks has been
James
good
Starks.
Dating back to last season.
James Starks is playing well. He's good in the passing game. He's breaking a lot of tackles. I'm just basing it on what I'm seeing. And the Packers agree with me, because when they had to go win a game last week, there was no Lacy involved at all.
So based on one series in the whole year, they agree
three
with you?
Three series, really. The whole fourth quarter, he was sitting out for the
save
most.
One game. Eddie Lacy's been bad this year. He has not brought anything. I know, obviously, it goes well
the
beyond
film
just the
running
back.
With you.
What? Tell me what you're saying.
There's no holes. When he has holes, right. The Vikings game, he was great.
Okay.
But he's been running like
holes.
That the whole year.
It's not just Eddie Lacy, but the bottom line is he hasn't been producing at the level he did last year. So I understand why they're mixing things up and see if maybe we could find something else with a different running back. It's weird. I think it's one of the weirdest subplots of the season that Eddie Lacy has had this much trouble as the running game in general.
And whether or not it's him, it is an issue that Green Bay's offense last year had more balance, and that was long awaited for the Packers. And until they can get that, there is some concern about the attack, I think.
Most teams, I would say, you can't rely on Aaron Rodgers to keep playing like this, but he is on a roll where he has five plays a game where he's about to get crunched and he just throws a ball. I mean,
he's been really extending plays the last few weeks and getting away with it and finding guys at the last minute for big plays.
To quote the great Liam Gallagher, he's godlike. Moving forward, the San Francisco 49ers, coming off that Monday night win over the Rams, now head to Mile High Stadium on Sunday night to play the Denver Broncos. I don't even know if they call it Mile High Stadium, do they? It's some major corporate venture. Invesco Field, maybe, at Mile High. Doesn't matter.
I think that's
you
great.
Got it.
All right, nailed it. Home run. to play the Broncos. You get the Broncos coming off the win over the Jets. Peyton Manning, very close to the touchdown record, which, you know, nothing to get too excited about, but that's going to be a major subplot, at least for NBC's coverage of this game. But how about the game? The 49ers, another team a little bit hard to figure out right now. This is a big time for them to – they can get a win on Sunday night in Denver. Everyone's going to say the Niners are back and are a favorite in the NFC.
I think they're back anyways. And I was not believing in them coming into the year. But the way that they've withstood a lot of tough situations and with all the players that have been hurt for them, once they start getting everyone back, Patrick Willis is going to be out for this game too. Once Jimmy Ward, he might be out for this game. Once you get Bowman and Alden Smith back, I mean, I think this is a deep, deep defense right now.
Yeah, I've been kind of thinking that since August, that they need to tread water until November, and then they get all those guys back. As long as they're good by January, they'll be fine.
I'd like to see the matchup of Denver, their defensive line, versus the 49ers offensive line. Because when San Francisco's really struggled this season, it's when they haven't gotten that ground game going, or they've just gone away from it. The Broncos last week, and maybe it's more a Jets offensive line issue, absolutely wrecked New York's ground game. They couldn't get anything going. And I just want to see how that works out, because if San Francisco does what it's good at, they have a chance here.
I don't think it's just the Jets' offensive line. Von Miller's playing better than any defensive player other than J.J. Watt.
I was going to say, we were talking about it downstairs. Wes, you were actually arguing with some people in the newsroom in a nice
that
way.
That wouldn't
Not
happen,
Not in a
would
vicious
it?
Way, yes. But Wes disagreed and was sharing his opinion, saying that he thought the Seahawks were still a better team than last year's Seahawks. Does anyone disagree that this Broncos team is better than last year's Broncos team? They seem like a much better unit, more balanced team, right?
I think they're much better on defense, and they're probably not quite as well-oiled on offense.
I don't think you can ask any team what they did on offense last year statistically to come back and double down on that. But I like the team makeup better than I did a season ago.
I think the 49ers can win if we see two straight great games out of Colin Kaepernick. Can you give us two in a row that are great? Because every month or so, Colin Kaepernick from the first month that he was in the league comes out, and he just puts together a perfect game, basically. Like, he's the type of pitcher. That's what he did on Monday night. He essentially played a perfect game, and you see that, and you kind of like, can you do that twice in a row? Can they dial up the right plays?
What's two in a row going to do for you? You need like 3 months of...
Let's start with two in a row at least.
By the way, bad job by Greg, who is really tooting the... You're behind. You're the conductor of the Niners train right now. We all picked against them. Broncos across the board
in
our picks.
I'm not conducting the train.
Next stop, Super Bowl. All right, that's it. All right, now it's time. We get into... Sometimes this can get a little awkward because it's a gang mentality. This is the Defend Your Hero segment where just one of us picks a team and the rest of you went the other direction. And now that man, in this case we're all men, so that man must defend his hero.
Defend your hero.
Which is to say that if there was a woman that was on the Around the NFL podcast and maybe down the line, that will happen, Greg. We would, you know, say that person must defend the hero. But in this case, we just say men.
It'd be nice to have like a female host, don't you think?
Yes.
I just
a lot of room for that
in my own grave. All right, so this is the Defend Your Hero segment, and in today's this schedule, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 games that were only one of us picked, and we'll start with one that I picked. I have two this week. Of course, as Greg knows, I'm the leader this season with 5 hero picks out of 9. And while we're on the subject...
Out of 9. I like it.
Also,
winning percent. We're not keeping track
also,
about
while
that.
We're here, Greg, the standings as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
What's
this
going
year?
On there?
3-way tie for first right now with Mark and Dan and I. Patra's only 2 back. Wes is struggling a little bit.
Where's
Wes? By the way,
7 back.
Looked this morning at the standings and where it talked about the 3 people in first place. You'd think you would naturally just make that alphabetical, right? Hmm. who's up top?
Who is it?
The boss. Oh. Obviously phoned into the edit desk and said, listen, just
I could see that happen.
Well, I won last year, so it just carries over the tie.
So, 2 points on that. You,
just
Greg,
concerning.
Greg, you were doing you were bad-mouthing me earlier in the season saying
no one cares about
distance.
Our records.
I care about them, and the listeners do care. And, Wes, your thoughts. Are you going to get back in this thing?
I don't really care about records at 6 games.
Right,
I don't think the Saints are worse than the Panthers.
Interesting.
I have more talent than you in picking games.
Oh, how dare
just
you.
Just like the Saints have more talent than the Panthers.
Wow.
I have demonstrated by my track record
that I
should be given some benefit of the doubt after 6 games.
This has now gotten personal, and you have no chance. I am getting the troops together. It is over, son.
I don't like how Dan is disrespected as a game picker.
Yeah,
this goes on for years.
Come on, this is enough.
He's doing a fine job this season.
Scoreboard.
He's in first place.
You're like the Arizona Cardinals right now.
Yeah.
A house of cards, ready to tumble.
Good.
4-1, winning by a point or two every week. Smoke and mirrors. You will be found out.
It's a lot of lip coming from that guy who's like 8 games back.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, great. Moving on to the first hero pick by Dan Hanses, who is 5-for-9 so far this season.
Wow, he's going third person.
That's 556, I think,
stick
percentage.
Stick a camera in this room.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are home.
Hanses.
The Jacksonville, here's the thing. The Jags are winless. However, the Browns are coming into town, and this is a different Browns team than in the past several years. Of course, the Browns are coming off a big wipeout of the Steelers. They're 3-2. They're feeling really good. But the Jaguars, perhaps overdue.
Definitely overdue.
I thought... Mark was your friend. He's come over to see your newborn child. He's been nice to you, and now you're trolling him with a winless team?
Well, two things. Number one, Mark, you know it's not personal. I just feel like the Browns aren't ready for this yet. I feel like it doesn't mean their season's about to go in the tank, but I feel like they're going to have a little misstep. It brings them down to earth a little bit, and then they start building up
again.
Because
you've got to be ready to go to Everbank. You know, with that,
well,
with that
the pools.
You might have a woman in jeans in a pool.
Or a 300-pound man staring
might?
At teens.
130 seconds ago on this show, I am going to bat for you on your ability to make picks and how much respect you deserve. What was this move?
Well, listen, it's not personal. And the real shock to me is that I got a hero pick because this would be the first time Wes has supported the Browns on any level for a month and a half.
Well, look, you guys are in my head. Every week you accuse me of being a bad friend to Mark, and I just don't want to be a bad friend anymore.
It is
now you have taken that spot.
It is rather sophomoric that we are actually calling each other bad friends for not picking that person's so-called favorite team.
We are idiots. Don't forget that.
Well, that's fair. Let's start there.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not giving Kyle Shanahan any love here. I mean, the offensive coordinator who's been dialing up plays better than any play caller in the league up against what's been a dreadful Jaguars offense. Look at what the Browns have done every week. They're a good team. The Jaguars stink.
Here's the weird thing, and I guess this would be called irony. I have a Sessler that the Jaguars are going to take care of the Browns here. And you're right. Shanahan's playing great. Brian Hoyer's playing great. what do you – oh, I said he's playing great. Excuse me. Coaching great. Brian Hoyer is playing great. This team, everything makes sense that they would continue rolling, and yet something feels off.
And
I don't think this is the
week. That's what a hero pick is. It doesn't have to make sense. And you know what? There's a lot of – I'm not just saying this to agree with Dan, but, I mean, the Jaguars are not a good football team.
They've been better the last couple weeks.
They have been better. They took the Steelers right to the edge. They really should have won last week. And Blake Bortles is going to have that game. Cleveland's defense has been horrible. So there is not. This is not illogical.
There's one guy I like, though, on the Browns defense. Can you guess who it is each week? Who's your favorite guy right now on the Browns defense?
Carlos Dansby.
I think Dante Whitner's been playing well.
Dansby. I like Gibson. I feel like he's been playing. How are they a bad team if they've got all these good players on their defense? I don't get it.
I don't either.
Well, they are. They have lost. They're down to what essentially, you know, four or five defensive linemen are out.
Right.
So, but anyways, I think, Dan, listen, Blake Bortles is going to do it one of these weeks. That defense does get pressure on the quarterback. That's one thing it has done well.
All right, so let's move on to the second hero pick. We'll go with Greg. We'll come back to my second one.
Why
Greg,
did I just defend your hero against the Browns, by the way?
I did plenty of defending, too, but I knew I could count on you to get a little gloomy about the Browns. I knew I had that in my back pocket.
Got in my head.
Yeah, so the New York Giants are coming off that really bad Sunday night game against the Eagles on multiple levels. They got shut out by a division rival. Then they lost Victor Cruz for the year to a bad knee injury. Now they head to Big D to face the 5-1 Cowboys, coming off that great, great, great win against the Seahawks at the Clink. So the Giants seem to be in a rough spot. The Cowboys seem to be in a great spot. But when these two teams play, it's not always that easy to figure out. Now, the whole group, save one, picked the Cowboys. The only one that didn't is Greg Rosenthal. So, Greg, defend your hero.
I mean, this is Eli's house. He's got his name on the wall and everything. Every time they go down there, they win. I mean, I don't know if you remember that. The first game in Jerry World, the Giants won. Eli signed his name on the locker. They do it every time since. I am not giving up on the Giants as a good team just because they had a total stink bomb performance. I think they're the type of team and coach and Eli Manning that responds to a terrible game. And I don't think the Cowboys are some dominant squad. You know, 2 weeks ago at home, they went to overtime against Houston. I just think they're ripe after a week of everyone kind of blowing, you know what, up Jerry Jones' world.
Blowing up what?
I don't know. Whatever you call it. That the Cowboys go down.
It's fair. It makes a lot of sense because the Cowboys, this would be the game. And I thought this about the Houston game, that they stub their toe. But now they really, this is classic Cowboys territory. You go up to Seattle and you play amazing football, outplay, not just beat the Seahawks, outplay them badly. Now you come back home and the Giants are their backs against the wall. I totally could see where this can turn into, you know, 31-17 Giants win. And everyone's like, the Cowboys sucked us in again.
Yeah, that's how the NFL works. Just when you think you know everything and America jumps on one narrative, that narrative gets blown up in a matter of a few days.
The world, because we have a lot of overseas listeners.
Chris good Wesley. Catch, Dan. Thank you.
I still think this Cowboys defense is good because they don't have to get on the field as much.
Aren't they giving up like 5.5 yards per carry on the ground?
Right. And look, it's no Rashad Jennings this week. It's going to be Andre Williams. But I think the Giants have enough firepower. I still see this as a three-team race in the NFC, so that's kind of – I'm not giving up on that, so I'm not giving up on the Giants.
In this offense, the loss of Victor Cruz, is that as big a deal as it would be in a run-and-shoot type offense that they ran for a long time?
Look, they've got receivers. I mean, Cruz is valuable, but
they've
they have
got a lot of inexperienced receivers right now that are going to be
asked
to play.
I'm not excited for Preston Parker.
Eli Manning called them out. He didn't say it. I don't know if he was talking about the defense, but he said basically we need to grow up. We need to take, you know, more responsibility. People need to take it seriously. It never happened. You never hear him talk like that, but that's what he said on Monday. Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham, Larry Donnell, I think those are some of the people he might be talking about. But that's a talented receiver.
I think we like Beckham, though, after a couple of weeks of play. He's looked
this
good.
Is his chance now. To step into a starring role if he really is the goods, and it seems like he is. He's going to be a major part. They're going to ask a lot from him. Let's move on. Chris Wessling sees the Oakland Raiders as a team that's overdue, just as I see the Jaguars as a team that's going to get a W. That's what Wes sees, because all of us, we picked the Cardinals to go to the black hole and take care of business with Carson Palmer. However, Chris Wessling says, no, you're all fools. The Raiders and Derek Carr are going to get their first win. So I ask you now, Chris Wessling, defend your hero.
Well, I've been a staunch and loyal supporter of the Oakland Raiders for a long time. I admire their entire operation. They have wonderful fans. And I just feel like, you know, with all of that going for them, how can the Cardinals come into the black hole and win?
I wish you weren't a liar.
Oh.
I thought
this is what are the odds that Chris Wessling, I don't know when the last time you had any hero picks were, and that it's on the Raiders.
Browns very, and the Raiders both
yeah,
picked.
Very
this week,
strange territory for you, Chris.
Well, I have said this many times on the podcast. The Cardinals are a much better team at home, and they're barely winning at home these days. They're a banged up team. Their quarterback doesn't have a good arm right now. I don't trust them to go into the black hole and beat a team that looked really frisky last week and, frankly, outplayed one of the best teams in the NFL.
Seems like the Raiders are finally – and it's such a week-to-week proposition with their offense, but Andre Holmes, nice game last week. Some of their wide receivers starting to show some
Bryce
chemistry.
Bryce Brown.
It's a little bit like the Jacksonville situation where you've got a young quarterback that looks to be potentially the real deal, and it's going to break at some point. They're going to get a win. I mean, I kind of like the strategy, Chris.
Thank you.
I think it's also maybe a little bit, you know, you're outside of your comfort zone, having to pick the Browns and the Raiders. You're searching to get back into this thing.
Potentially dangerous, too. West, 7 games out. Again, this is a long way to go, but perhaps you are exiting your comfort zone to get a little momentum.
Well, it's like I told Greg in the newsroom, this has been a look-in-the-mirror week for me. I need to be a better Chris Wessling in all facets of my life. So I'm doing some self-evaluation this week.
Going beyond the picks, you're saying?
Like everything, all of my life, I need to become a better version of me.
I like you the way you are, but that's a fine quest.
It is.
And as part of that quest,
I put the Wes in quest.
As part of that quest, you're hitching your wagon to Tony Sparano.
Well, that's not like
you may, all the balls.
You may have more.
That's not the guiding principle.
If you buried the balls, you buried the balls, you buried the past.
There may be more internal searching to do.
I agree. I
hear
think
you.
That's the best part of self-evaluation. You continually search.
A lot of your anti-Cardinals rhetoric I was spouting last week.
Rhetoric?
When I was defending my hero.
Was this a political debate?
And it could have worked if Kirk Cousins hadn't turned the ball over 4 times in the fourth quarter. They're still only down 3.
Joe Theismann, where's your Messiah now?
By next week, Wes will be talking about transcendental meditation. That's my
prediction. Why wait a week?
While he picks the Rams.
All right, the final hero pick. Greg, we should do this properly because I shouldn't be setting up my own defense of a hero.
Well, I enjoyed it when you went third person.
Yeah, that was too much. So why don't you set me up on this? Put on your old host cap. Take it out from the locker. And away we go.
It has been nice that we've had a room full of heroes now for months on end.
I think.
After a long time when it was just some heroes.
What a run.
The Cincinnati Bengals head to Indianapolis, the house that Andrew Luck built. Actually, no one calls it that. The Bengals haven't played well the last couple weeks. Defense given up a lot of points. But you think They're going to go on the road and beat a streaking Colts team that's won 4 straight games. Defend your hero.
First of all, it's the house that Peyton Manning built.
I know. That's what I was doing there, buddy.
Okay, but I just want to be factual right off the top. Okay, and then I'm going to dig into the game. I don't trust this Colts team yet. I don't know why. It's a feeling I have that they're not exactly maybe as good as their record indicates. I didn't love their performance on Thursday night against the Texans. I thought that, you know, they were holding on for dear life in that game against a team they should have just, once they got ahead, they should have stayed ahead. They let them back in the game. So I see enough cracks like that where I can't get all in. On the other hand, the Bengals are a team that, to me, still is a top three AFC team coming off a frustrating tie. I think they're a better team if you match up just player for player, a better team, better, I would say they probably have the coaching advantage as well. So I like the Bengals as a better team, and I think that the better team will win, even though it is in the house that Peyton Manning built.
Can't argue with a feeling.
I think it's a coin flip game. It's not crazy. This is a good-looking hero pick because I agree with you on a lot of what you said about the Colts. My problem is I don't know what the Bengals are right now. Without A.J. Green, their offense still looked really good, but I'm confused by the defense. They had no pass rush against Carolina and Cam Newton. I don't know what happened there, and they had a total stink bomb. Imagine if the first 2 weeks of the season the Bengals gave up 80 points. Everyone would be talking about that the house is on fire and this defense is terrible.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Colts have the most, basically the hottest pass rush in the NFL. 17 sacks in the last 5 games. They got guys like, you know, our guy, Bjørn Werner.
Bjørn Werner.
Well, flip side, Cincinnati's given up 2 sacks all season.
That's a good point.
And I, you know, the Colts with Andrew Luck, whether he built the house or he didn't, or he's just living in renting
Peyton
it,
Manning built
he's
it.
Renting it from Peyton Manning for now, but this offense is scoring a touchdown more per game than it did last year, and it's 10 points more than it was 2 seasons ago. I mean, they're getting better. They're getting more prolific. Whether they have a running game or not, it just doesn't seem to matter.
I struggled with this game, and when I looked at it, I thought this is going to be a shootout. And then who do you want in a shootout, Andrew Luck or Andy Dalton?
That's a good question.
Andy Dalton gets you ties in a shootout. Andrew Luck gets you wins.
I like that. By the way, it is the house that Jack Trudeau constructed.
Jack Trudeau,
the former
backup quarterback?
Yeah, he built it because he's come onto some financial difficulties.
Is Mike Pagel his foreman?
Pagel's in there. Jeff George is in there, like, just being lazy.
Trudeau started a playoff game for them in 87, so that's valid. Well, it did not go well.
Back when Mark was, what, 25 or something?
No.
Wow. Age shot.
Whoa.
Hey, I'm the same age as Wes, and I just happen to be watching football
as
a 41. Child versus building tree houses, whatever you were doing.
Building
a tree house out of gold
Greg
bricks as you watch the Patriots go 12-2.
Jews don't build tree houses.
What was Greg doing at age 8?
He's playing sports, having fun with your
friends.
Well,
we come from your own mouth reports that you had dyed your hair at one point, a purple black tinge, and you were in a goth band.
That's not true.
That's what you told us.
He doesn't admit it was goth, but he was
pale
and had black
hair. There's no crazy band. I did dye my hair black when I was 14.
If anyone, and
a lot of kids did.
You've got to get that tape.
Instead of sending tweets and snitching me out about Pat McAfee, I want the internet to band together to find some copy of Greg Rosenthal's band from junior high. If you can get that to us, we will give you.
What was the name of the band?
All our money.
Delaware.
It was called Delaware, the least exciting state in the union.
Well, that was the joke there.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Was this based on Wayne's World?
I think that helped. That really brought the awareness.
That was very
for
this very 90s move in the age of irony to call your band Delaware.
Yeah, basically.
All right, let's get back on track. Let's go through the rest of the games now, and we will start with the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the Falcons are a team that now we're starting to think they might actually stink. I picked them as a dark horse earlier before the season started. Now I'm not feeling so good about that anymore. The Ravens, of course, coming off that game where they absolutely trounced the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joe Flacco had 5 touchdowns in a little over a quarter, I believe it was, or it was in the first half anyway. So this seems to be, on paper, a mismatch in the favor of the Ravens, correct?
I've got a theory about the Falcons, and it's that every time a team plays the Falcons, we think that team is a world beater the following game. And so so this is the week that the Ravens can stomp on the Falcons, and we can think it's some great performance. After a while, I'm starting to realize the Falcons, other than Matt Ryan and White and Julio Jones, are one of the worst teams in football.
Arthur Blank gave Mike Smith a vote of confidence this week, which you know what that means. Hey, gone.
Well, I think I talked about on the last show that I think it's just going to be a couple weeks before we start to hear the exact opposite.
That what? Smith that, is going to be around for a long time?
Not just Smith, but, you know, we don't want to predict these guys' total dooms, but the general manager has not done a good job building this team. You had an NFC title roster here that has absolutely crumbled right up in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That the good teams right now these days are they're running and they're winning the time of possession.
We believe that about their talent on the roster, but Arthur Blank said this week, look, we've got tons of talent
on both sides
of the ball.
That's what he said in public.
I think he actually believes that. I think he believes in Dimitrov.
Then the issues would go higher.
It is depressing, though, in sports when you – when they came so close to getting to the Super Bowl, when they got beat by the Niners, as if it's not hard enough to deal with as a fan where you come that close, when it turns out a year later and you realize, oh, that was the closest we're going to get with this team and you have to start over, it could be another 10 years, 20 years, forever, it's tough. Being a sports fan is tough.
I don't think Dimitrov's going anywhere.
It's not Dimitrov?
Dimitrov.
Dimitrov. It's not with an E.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Interesting.
And they're still going to have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Which is, I know it's only two players, but that's
two very good players.
Two amazing players to build
like,
on.
Would you, though?
And it's a lousy division. It wouldn't shock me if they're, who knows, that this division, 8-8, 9-7.
You can turn around a team in 1 year in the NFL.
Moving forward, the Minnesota Vikings, coming off a bad loss to the Lions, now travel to Orchard Park to play the Bills. The Bills, of course, got beat by the Pats last week. I'm interested in Teddy Bridgewater in this game. How he bounces back from a very tough performance against a very good defense. Now he plays the Bills, who have some players that can also play there. What do we expect from Teddy Bridgewater in this game? We'll start there.
I expect him to struggle. Greg has talked up the Bills as having the best defensive line in football, and they're even better at home. I don't know. To me, like nothing I saw to Teddy Bridgewater last week would suggest that he's going to have an easy time in Buffalo.
The one game where Bridgewater really started to throw the ball downfield and use the weapons around him, if you want to call him that, was the Falcons game.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Everyone looks great against the Falcons.
Well, and they couldn't. Minnesota's offensive line has been a pass-protecting mess. And we saw that last week. Was it 8 sacks against the Lions? I don't think we can really, you know, say much about Teddy Bridgewater when he's running for his life the way he is. And he's throwing a lot of checkdowns and little screen passes, and he's not even – He's looked even E.J. Manuel-esque on some of his screen pass attempts, like his short passes, and it's because he's under so much duress. In that Falcons game, he looks solid to me. If they can protect him, I think he's an interesting quarterback, but we're not going to know until they can do that.
You've been diving into the rookies each week on the old Rookie Watch on NFL.com. What about Bridgewater?
What a great piece that is every week.
Every week. What about Bridgewater? Surprise! What did you learn about that? About Bridgewater watching this?
Well, that's sort of what I just said. I just think that it's the big issue for them because for so long they were a great run blocking line for Adrian Peterson, and fair enough, you know, for the quarterbacks in terms of pass protection. But he's just been getting killed. That I'm glad he didn't have to deal with the Packers that one game.
Well, he does have a stone gargoyle guarding his blind side.
There you go.
I think some of the problem is Bridgewater, at least last week. I mean, he admitted it, too, that he's got to get rid of the ball. And you see this with a lot of young players. On the other side of the ball, your boy, Kyle Orton, played pretty well against
New
England
some throws.
Overall.
Yeah, he made some throws against
the Patriots. Passing game is not their problem, and that's why I took this as my Duracell power pick of the week, Bills over Vikings.
And if it's anything like the battery itself, that's a pick that's going to last. Mark, what did you think?
I like that, and I took them also as my power pick because I've found that it's smart to just mimic what the boss does sometimes because he'll say, wow, this person gets it.
Okay. moving on, we all picked, by the way. The last two games I went over, we picked all across. You could figure it out. Next up, Miami. The Dolphins, they were coming out. Oh, what a tough loss for the Dolphins. Felt so terrible for that franchise. Losing to Aaron Rodgers late. On a touchdown with less than 5 seconds to play. Now they head to Chicago to play the Bears. And, Greg, as you were just saying, every team looks better against the Falcons, at least the offense does. So should we think that now the Dolphins are going to play a tighter game with the Bears?
I think this was the toughest game I've had to pick all year for some reason.
Whoa.
I don't know why. I probably say that every week. But the I really wanted to pick the Dolphins. I had a hard time deciding, and it's hard to get a feel for this Bears team. You want to think that they kind of turned it around last week and pushed Atlanta around, but like I said, there's that Falcons effect where everyone looks good against them. The Dolphins have a legitimately good defense. This is a great matchup between the Bears passing game and the Dolphins. Football Outsiders ranks the Dolphins as the number four defense in the league, which is surprising.
Wow.
I think if Steve Smith can go into Carolina and prove to the Panthers that they made a mistake by letting him go, I think this is going to be Brandon Marshall's game.
And I think that's a good point. We can talk about the Falcons effect, but a significant portion of their improvement on offense is that Brandon Marshall's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, they put up 480 yards against the Packers. It's not like they haven't been moving the ball. Their defense has improved dramatically this year, too. So I don't know why. Maybe it shouldn't have been that hard to
pick. I need
to
ask.
They're a weird team. I don't know. They're a really tough team to put my finger on whether they're any good or not.
I need to ask the DOP, Handsome Hank, about this. Anecdotally, it seems like the Dolphins just lay so many eggs on the road.
They've only played one road game.
I mean, like in the last couple of years.
Isn't that crazy? This is only their second road game. And they – isn't that right?
Well, that's disappointing because that tells us they're not taking care of business at home either. But this, there's a weird
– London counted as a road game, but I don't know.
Well, that's – all right. I mean, that's – you know, there's a weird sort of – I just – something about the Dolphins does not –
yeah, we
does
all
not
pick the
fly
Bears,
right now.
They need a charismatic leader.
Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon, though, that's as good a tandem right now as there is other than in Denver. They're playing really well. It's a defense that has players all over the place.
The Seattle Seahawks, coming off a bad loss to the Cowboys, now travel to the Edward James Olmos Bowl Dome to play the St. Louis Rams, who got off to that nice start against the Niners, the big NFC West superpower, along with the Seahawks, and then got wiped in the second half. Do we see the Seattle Seahawks taking care of business, or are the Seattle Seahawks, who, by the way, aren't giving Marshawn Lynch the ball enough, are they going to struggle and play another close game?
I thought for a minute that the Rams might be a sneaky pick here, but I don't believe it. I think that Vic Fangio blitzed Austin Davis, which I think will continue to be a problem for that quarterback, and I expect the Seahawks to put pressure on him too.
This is when it gets ugly, when you are the fourth best team in the division, because you deal with the Niners on Monday night and you got a short week to turn around and deal with an angry Seahawks team. I mean, there's nothing logical about picking the Rams. The only thing I kind of liked about the Rams in the beginning of that Niners game was that for the first time under Brian Schottenheimer's reign with that offense, we saw some of the young players being used. I like Trey Mason. I thought Tavon Austin finally was used in a way that kind of exposed his gifts in a good sense. But how do you do that against this defense for four quarters?
It's not the same defense, though. I mean,
Seattle's defense?
No. They don't have Bobby Wagner, who's one of their best players.
No Byron Maxwell.
They don't have Byron Maxwell. So Byron Maxwell was already the replacement, and he played really well last year, Brandon Browner. So now you're to guys like Burley, right? Who last week the Cowboys targeted him and it worked. And so now you've got some weak players on the field. They're missing Max Unger, who's a Pro Bowl type of center. They're missing Zach Miller, who is a key part. You know, they're missing a lot of players.
But you're not willing to say that the Rams are going to give them a tough time of it.
No, they're still a very good team. I just don't think they're the same defense. They're really the same team when they're missing all these players. How could they be?
Like the one thing with St. Louis, and that's true. And then I'm like, okay, well, so who on St. Louis is going to really take advantage of that and have a wild night?
New gunslinger, Austin Davis.
I like Austin Davis. It's the Rams' defense that's the bigger problem. I mean, this is a team that's built to be great up front.
Where's Robert Quinn?
And they're the worst pass rush in the league.
You're sort of our Brian Schottenheimer beat writer, Mark. You gave him credit, and he deserves it. For the first time I can remember, they came out and were creative, were smart. Didn't you also get the sense as soon as his scripted plays were done, he had no answer?
And that's what – watching a lot of bad football in Cleveland over the years where they had a so-called all-right play caller here and there, you'd see them come out firing for one quarter, and then it's like our core talent and what we are at our base – you can't do that for more than one quarter. You're dead, and that's the Rams.
We all picked the Seahawks. moving on, this game, I can't get excited about. The Tennessee Titans head to Washington. That is a team that they exist in theory, potentially. The Titans are heading to Washington to face the Redskins, two teams that don't seem to be going anywhere. Mark, it is your job now to sell this game to America and all the people overseas.
And cover it on Sunday.
Wait a minute. That will be that's the
breaking news.
Wait, that will be Sessler the third straight home. Week that I'm covering the Titans.
Didn't you spend one Saturday this year just watching the Titans for fun?
Yeah, yeah. And I am perfect for you. I failed my family that day. I failed basically America on some
sell
sense.
It, Mark.
Just don't watch all this right. game and just assume that you can write three things that are generic and concentrate on the other one.
Well, the reason this matters to me, I like that strategy. This is big for Kirk Cousins. If he goes out and has one of his better games, suddenly the conversation's back in the mix of what do we do at the quarterback spot. If he lays another egg, we're going to see RG3 the minute he's healthy.
I'm going to sell this game to you.
Yeah, do it.
If not for the storied, long-standing relationship between Jay Gruden and Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden would be coaching this Titans team right now. Mm. He was the first guy to interview for that job. Mm. They let him get away. And a night later, the Redskins made him an offer he couldn't refuse. I think the Titans wanted him.
Gruden
just
and the Titans.
Just think how football history would have
changed. It's funny because the Redskins aren't going to want him in 2 months either.
You're not buying what I'm saying?
All right, so Wes and I both like sort of try. Failed on this front. So, Greg, your turn.
Sell it, Greg.
Hey, how many games are there a year? 256? A
whole bunch.
They're all beautiful. They're all my children, you know? I love them all. You know, I love
but
the
this
ugly
is the
ones.
One, this is
I
one
love
with
the ugly
that,
ones.
Yeah, like
sometimes.
One eye is shooting in one direction. It's got like a tuft of hair. One arm is significantly shorter than the other. It's a beast, basically.
I'd rather watch a beautiful soul.
Perhaps.
I'd rather watch this game than Game 7 of the World Series or just about anything. I'm not even kidding.
Feels like a shot at me.
No, it's not.
If the Royals are playing, I'd rather watch the Royals.
The Royals are a fun team to watch. We all pick the Redskins moving forward. The Kansas City Chiefs are heading to San Diego to face the Chargers. Phillip Rivers continues his MVP tour potentially against the Chiefs.
It's a tour.
That's what their season is.
That's how they're selling
it. It's like
now.
A cavalcade. He's riding in a convertible.
They'll like buy him a rocking chair in Denver when he gets there.
It's like when Jeter retired. He's getting gifts every stadium
in
he plays
in the middle
in.
Of a season.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so the Chargers are playing well, obviously. They didn't play that well against the Raiders, but they still came out with a win. The Chiefs, another team I can't get too excited about. What are our thoughts about this game?
I think the most impressive thing about the Chargers to me is exactly what you said. They've had a couple of games where you wouldn't expect them to play well, and they've played just well enough to win, but they take care of business.
I think the Chiefs are one of the teams that it surprisingly excite me. Ooh. That you never know what's going to happen going into the year. That's why we didn't choose the team of ATL, of course, the San Diego Chargers, until we were in five games in. I'm kind of intrigued by this Kansas City team because I think they're playing to their capacity. Wesley's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I'm looking at you like the Chiefs excite you. I want to party with you, cowboy.
It's good looking.
I like this kind of party.
Tell me the bad Chiefs performance, though, since week one.
That's fair. I mean, they've been close.
There isn't one.
Yeah.
They've been a pretty good team. There isn't one since week one. They have
what was their
well.
Last game?
They lost in San Francisco on a game that was a very entertaining game. They've played really entertaining games. Alex Smith, you know, he's a good guy to root
Hammered
for.
Hammered the Patriots. A lot of these games they were winning last year. That's the difference. I mean, they have to at some point just – you got to take care of this business here with the Chargers. I talked to two people inside the San Diego organization.
Wow.
And I want to just explain something about what happened in the last week. They, and as we suspected, when word kind of crept out over Twitter that we had picked them as our team, that is a lot of pressure. But when you've got an MVP-level quarterback, he got that group together in the locker room and said, this is just another thing we've got to deal with. In a good way now. We're starting to get that acclaim and that attention. We're not that anonymous team down in San Diego. How are we going to deal with that? They're going to come out big this week.
For litigation purposes, you must say that didn't actually happen, I think.
I'm not
going to
say anything.
You can't prove if he has sources in that locker room.
Why would I?
He went down to San Diego in August and probably made a lot of close friends.
That's true.
Let's leave it right there. I did not think of that. But I thought you spent most of after that game coming up with your list of Cowboy defensive
adjectives. I said two sources in San Diego.
Someone that works at like the Burger King.
I didn't say where they work.
The guy who lives under the pier bridge.
It's a good game. This is a good game. Chiefs really need to win it, though.
We all pick the Chargers.
Yeah, if they go to 2-4 in that division,
they're in hot water.
It's just about over. It's too bad. I mean, they've played in Denver, in San Francisco, in San Diego. Their schedule's been pretty brutal.
And finally, Chris Wessling, you champion the Pittsburgh Steelers as a potential team of ATL.
I don't remember that.
You believe in them on some level, at least offensively, that they're an exciting, dynamic team. However, they have not gotten off to a good start this season. There's even been some talk about Mike Tomlin. Is Mike Tomlin still in the future for this team? Now they have a home game against the Houston Texans, who we all know play some good defense, but have Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. You know what? You got to win this team to win this game, Steelers. They're going to do it, right? They're not going to blow this game, are they?
I have no idea. I don't know who the Steelers are. Mm. I think it's funny, like, that this is the year everyone wants to talk about Tomlin and ignore the Haley Big Ben dynamic.
Ben looks okay.
But well, their offense is not firing on all cylinders. And Hines Ward came out and said this week, that's not Todd Haley's offense. Big Ben's calling the plays.
Well, and Ben isn't talking about Haley. That's the difference this year.
And then you run into a situation where they're asking about Martavis Bryant, and Big Ben's basically like, I need to see that guy minding his P's and Q's. I need to see him in his playbook. It seems like Big Ben is running the offense.
Now that you say that, I remember writing a post last week where they were talking about Le'Veon Bell didn't get a lot of carries in a game. And Ben Roethlisberger, it was because he was checking out of plays into passes. And then when they asked Ben about it, he was like, I don't regret any of it. I wouldn't change it. So it's almost as if he's kind of taking a stand that this is his offense. Mm. Maybe there's a little bit of a power struggle there.
Todd Haley is Uncle Junior, and Big Ben is Tony.
You don't want to be Uncle Junior.
I don't think Houston's going to be able to take advantage of this necessarily. But my bigger issue is with Pittsburgh's defense in their secondary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked about it. When you allow a quarterback to complete 8 passes all game, that should be a good thing, assuming they aren't running wild on you. But each of those passes went for big yardage when Brian Hoyer threw them last week. That's not something that Pittsburgh in its own division has done in the past. They look lost to me.
We gave Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for his play calling last week. It was essentially just written in capital letters, throw the ball at Cortez Allen. I mean, this guy has to be playing worse than any cornerback in the league. He's given up more big plays than any cornerback
in the league. I think he's been benched.
And they just gave him a lot of money. There's no pass rush. I mean, the offense has been out of sync, like Marcus Wheaton's running the wrong routes, things like that. They tend to get a lot of yards and then not
making
finish drives.
Making the leap candidate.
But the defense Marcus is worse. Wheaton. The defense has been far worse.
Yeah.
They fell for the banana in the tailpipe over and over again against the Browns. Boot action, play action. Every time the linebackers are going one way and Hoyer's going the other way and finding receivers running dig routes, crossers all over, open down the field.
But one thing, it wasn't just that, because Cleveland's run for like 358 yards in 2 games on Pittsburgh. No team has done that in division anywhere since 1989 against Pittsburgh.
Wow.
It's the run defense sucks. The fan consensus is picking and that's America. You can go to Weekly Pick'em
and overseas. And
see our picks there and overseas. The Texans are getting picked about 65% of the time in this game, which is bizarre to me.
Feel good about this.
And yet we all went across on the Patriots. On the Steelers.
Jadeveon Clowney could play. Game time decision on Monday night. Okay, that's it for Thursday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, we will be back on Sunday night with our Week 7 recap. The wheel goes round and round and round. Signing off, this is Dan Hansis for the Sizzler, the Mailman, the Boss. Tight day behind the glass. What's happening, fellas? Till Sunday.